ahead and put that slide up. Or if you want to look at your bulletin, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now that's what's here. I guess it's exactly the same up there. Plans. I had no plans whatsoever to preach today. And last week, I knew that because Bev and I had been gone, and it was here, and Bev said, "You do not have time this week to prepare a sermon. It takes you too long anyway." But so after church last week, was a beautiful service last week, and I just felt, and so I prayed. And, I told everybody in the hallway, and then I thought that maybe I needed to apologize, and the Lord said, "You don't apologize for saying what I told you to say." He said there would be a message today. And that's what he told me. He didn't say I would do it, but actually I can already see. Look at the message he sent us with the snow. And Brittany highlighted it well. Made us think of Christmas. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To think that Jesus came as a baby, he became one of us. And, they predicted 1 to 3 inches. I'd say it was closer to 4 to 6 when I was shoveling yesterday. I was just going, good grief. You were supposed to start out light. Well, and it was a nice, fluffy snow. But anyway, God is faithful. And I have no other slides than this one. Prayed all week. One of the things that the Lord taught me this week, and it's something that we all know, is that prayer isn't about telling God anything. We're not the ones that are supposed to be speaking. And it's about listening. And so it's there. Now, one thing I do want to ask, because the Lord gave me, he said, I need to ask this question. Does anyone have a message or word from the Lord today? Now, he put this way, but he didn't set it there. He said it would be there, and I know that Sandy spent a little bit of time. I knew she would because she's very faithful. Tom, you couldn't have asked for a better set of songs. Brought us right to the place that we need to be today. We need to be listening to the Lord, and I really believe that we are. It was wonderful to hear about the work that we have supported. This church has supported missionaries for the whole time that I've been here. And I remember the first time I came to Friendship Assembly of God was because we were doing a full gospel businessmen's meetings, and I was the only Pentecostal church in town. The Lutheran church as in, that being that it wasn't quite there. It doesn't matter. But that was how I was introduced to Friendship Assembly 30 years ago. And the work that the Lord did through Lyndon Ryder in reestablishing this church. And we can look, and when we look back, we want to look at how the Lord has worked through this body. And still working today. YFC is doing wonderful work here, and it's part of the fact that a lot of people from this body have put a lot of time in it, and Tom and Roxanne have put time both here and there, and the Lord is working, without a doubt. Now, one thing that he also said here, he said, did anyone seek the Lord? And then The question really is this, is in any week or any day, is there any reason why we should never stop seeking the Lord? I mean, that should be a daily thing. I mean, I know that sometimes it's very easy, just like this last week when we looked at schedule and Bev said, you can't preach next Sunday. Don't let anybody convince you you can. And because you don't have time. Our schedule, our plans are too much. But if we're not seeking the Lord, we need to ask ourselves why or why we're not. Everyone is responsible for hearing from the Lord. There isn't anyone here. If you are a believer, you should be hearing from the Lord. Now, as you grow in the Lord, hopefully your ears are working better. But it is something that, especially in this time, because the other thing that is here, I mean, the beautiful thing about this snow is, I mean, you can look out and you can say the fields are ripe for harvest. Because, I mean, if we look at what's happening in Israel today and around the world with all these different things, many are the plans in man's heart. I mean, everything we're seeing, the violence, the protests, everything is in man's plans. Doesn't matter if it's Palestine, the Palestinians, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, Russia, China, the United States. I mean, we got to put us all in the same boat because we are all in the same boat. Or Israel's plans. The one thing that Israel has is that God did choose them as a nation through Abraham millennia ago. But his purpose was for the entire world. And the other thing that we have to realize, and if there's one thing that October 7th taught us again, there is nothing in the Bible. I mean, when people say the gruesomeness of what's in the Bible, there was nothing more gruesome. There's nothing more gruesome in the Bible than what was witnessed on October 7th. But that's happened many times. You can think of, you don't have to think of Hitler. You can think of Pol Pot. You can think of a whole lot. There's a whole range of people throughout the years. Nero and different things. I mean, man is in need of a Savior. It does not make any difference who he is. And so the plans that we make. But the neat thing is, and that's what's also flowing out of Jerusalem right now, is people are getting saved around the world. God's purpose will prevail. The Lord came as a baby. And no one even hardly noticed. Well, the shepherds noticed. Anna noticed. Simeon noticed. But he just quietly came in. The interesting thing is, in some ways, the devil really didn't catch on right away. Now, we do, and I don't want to spend too much time on Satan at all, other than the fact that without the Holy Spirit's help, we are helpless against him. But he is just as blind as we are in many areas. That's one of the reasons why, I mean, the scriptures, and this is, again, one of those things, the Lord showed me so many things this week, but I'll try not to talk all week. No, but the scriptures, the Old Testament, which is, again, one of those lies, those deceptions that's out there. The Old Testament is the scriptures. When Jesus referred to the scriptures, he referred to the Old Testament. Because the New Testament wasn't written. It wasn't written until after he ascended to heaven. Again, it was the work of the Holy Spirit that helped it to be written, just like the whole Bible was written, because the Holy Spirit was present in it. And it's just those things that we need to know, that we will make plans, but we have to be paying attention to what the Lord's doing very seriously now. Because if the time was short when Jesus left, it's shorter now. And We don't have to worry so much about the rapture as we do about the fact that there are people in the world that need the Lord. The Jews in Israel, many of them, there are many that are seeing Jesus as their Messiah, but there are many there that don't. And this, they're in the same boat as Hamas, except for God made promises to them that he will keep. I mean, that's just all there is to it. When God makes a promise, he completes it. He is faithful. I'm not faithful. I could have called in sick this morning, but I don't think the Lord would have liked it much. But anyway, the Lord wants to speak to us. And I want it to be the Lord that speaks. Now, I guess is there anything in your lives that you would like to speak about and give the Lord credit for? Don, go ahead.
You copy? Okay. Anyhow, I stopped and seen at the drugstore, and the lady in there, she had a little baby. I said, "How old is he?" And she says, 4 months old. And I said, looks like he's pretty nice, you know, big content baby. She says, "Well, we're struggling with an infection and sinus stuff, and he's having trouble." And I said, "Well, can I pray for him?" She said, "Yeah." So I just went down, prayed for the baby, that he would be healed, the sinus would be gone. I went and I sat down on a table there. And I looked at her and I said, "Can I pray for you? You've got diabetes." She says, "How did you know?" I says, "The Lord told me." I said, "Can I pray for you?" And she says, "Yes." So I laid hands on her right there in the drugstore and prayed for her, that God would touch her and heal her. And we cast off this curse of diabetes off her body and prayed that all of her organs would be working properly. And she says, "Thank you." And then there was a gal that was working there. She says, "Thank you." She says, "How did you know?" And I says, "Lord told me." So I said, I just try to be faithful and do what the Lord wants me to do. So that's what happened.
Anyone else? Other things? Well, the other thing, and again, I'm gonna read. Well, with our Sunday school lesson we have the meal after church or after church, and then we've been looking at Solomon, and just the building of the temple and the things like that. It's fascinating. It's just fascinating. The Word of God is so rich and so full. But the interesting thing is that the Lord didn't refer to it as his temple. It was Solomon's temple. Now, it was built. David said we needed to build. It was David's idea, of course, given to him by the Holy Spirit, that we should have a a temple to honor the name of the Lord. And so that's what the temple does. And in many ways, when we look at our own building today, the building, I mean, of course, the church is us, the people. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. All believers are that. But the church is still something that honors the name of the Lord. It's one of those neat things. God years ago told Bev and I, and we are now finding out that this is the season where we're coming and going. It looks like we will be in half the states, driven in half the states of the United States this year by the time we get back about the end of next month. But our kids keep us traveling because they keep moving to different places. But the neat thing when you drive across the United States is, and because we'll quite often take the back roads now instead of the interstates because we've got a little more time, and we don't like driving more than 6 hours a day, although it happens anyway. But if you look at all the churches that are there, now many of those churches, you can still tell that they used to be a church, but they sometimes are homes or they're different things, and sadly, some of them have been turned into mosques, some of them have been turned into other things, which are, I don't think God has any problem with them becoming a home or a business or something like that, but they should still honor the Lord. But it doesn't matter where that's at. But the neat thing is that the temples, the churches, the buildings do still serve to remind people of God. And it's neat that we can see that it's there. It's just one of those things where we need to open up our eyes and allow the Lord to show us what's going on around us. Because if we listen to the news, if we listen to the media, if we listen to ourselves, I mean, I have to be careful. It says take every thought captive. It's very easy to hear some things, especially with what's been going on the last 3 weeks. It's like you're going, what do you think of this? But there's a couple things that the Lord really wants us to stay away from. We are not to be afraid. That's just very important. And we are to look forward to what's ahead. His promises are real. We cannot be afraid, and we have to build each other's faith. This is a time because it does, and again, I don't know, I couldn't tell you exactly where it's at, but it says that in these times, if they were not cut short, that even the elect would be deceived. And it's just, we do not want to be afraid. And we have to be here for each other and for other believers around the world and for those that aren't believers yet. Because fear is something that's becoming more and more a part of everybody's life. Afraid of the stock market crashing. Afraid of, you can list 1,000 things you're afraid of. But the Lord calls us to not live in fear. Now, it doesn't mean that we may not, our lives may become less comfortable. In fact, there's a good, if you read the Bible, it's pretty hard to say that our lives are going to become more comfortable during this time. But that's not the purpose. It's not our comfort that's important. It's the fact that people know that there is a way of salvation. That the hope is there for the future. Now, it's interesting. The Lord also put on, and I'm going to read, this is actually, I've been enjoying the Complete Jewish Study Bible, and he's talking about Solomon. The interesting thing about Solomon is, he built the temple, but his prayers at the time, he was given wisdom, and he had more visitations from the Lord. You think about other people, but he spent a lot of time with the Lord. But the other thing is, and Ray had asked me a question about, he'd listened to a sermon and it said something about, the guy had said that someone can lose their faith. Now, In the assemblies of God, we do believe that that's possible. Not easy by any means at all, but you can reject the Lord. And there is some, and when you read commentaries and things, Solomon is one of those guys that started out very strong in the Lord, building the temple, and then he went through a time of disobedience he was the richest man in the world. I mean, just the amount of gold that was in the Holy of Holies, and that was the small room in the temple, and the bigger room was also covered with gold, was $1.4 billion in today's, of gold, 42,000 pounds of gold. But again, those things are not the things we want to look at. Our faith in Christ is worth far more than $1 billion. The life that we will enjoy in heaven and in the future, I mean, we can't even imagine it now. I just know that sometimes this week, although I was going, the Lord taught me. He said, I said there'd be a message. He says, you don't have to worry about it. It's not your responsibility. My responsibility is to read the Bible. My responsibility is to pray. My responsibility is to tell other people about Jesus and to tell them that there is a future. But as far as his purpose, that's his responsibility. And I've got to learn that if I'm going to speak from up here, if I'm going to speak, I have to be listening to him, and it has to be his words and what he wants you to hear. Just like these guys that wrote this book, they wrote it in their own style. They wrote it with their own voice. They wrote it with that. And every one of them was a sinner. And the nice thing about the Bible is it lets you know that they weren't any different than us. They were in the same boat. And there they are crossing the Sea of Galilee with these fishermen. And it gets stormy and Jesus is taking a nap. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, good grief. But he's there for us. He knew what was going to happen. He knew they were safe. He knows that we're safe. Okay, Ecclesiastes. For everything there is a season, a right time for every intention under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to discard, a time to tear down and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon is going back through, it's the last book that he wrote, and he's reflecting on a life. And a lot of it was very sinful. He talks a lot, doesn't use the word chasing after the wind as it does in some of the other versions of the Bible in here, but talks about everything in life being just worthless or just a chasing after the wind. And if we are only in our own, if we're only in our own world, if we're still doing If I'm still doing my plans, if I'm not willing to change my plans, if the Lord all of a sudden brings us 4 to 6 inches, whatever it was, that we got yesterday, a beautiful white snow, then take it as a blessing from the Lord. In fact, we need to take this as a sign. There is a fresh new beginning every day, but it's here. And the Lord's speaking to us. Now in the end, if I go to the end of Ecclesiastes, let's see. I thought I had it marked. There it is. Here's the final conclusion. Now that you have heard everything, fear God and keep his mitzvot. Now there, that's a wonderful word. That's one of the things I love it. Well, I didn't always like it about this Bible when I first started reading it. And it goes, and keep his mitzvot? What's a mitzvot? Well, of course, it tells you back here. But what it is the one of the things that, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because we get so worried about the laws. It's his commands. It's his instructions. Keep my instructions. I told you to do this, do it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. We do have laws, but it's not really laws. It's commands. It's a master giving his servant an instruction. Do this. Just like Adam and Eve, don't eat from the tree of knowledge. I mean, isn't that ironic when we look at our colleges and universities? I mean, it just brings home the point that what's killing us is the tree of knowledge. But again, it's instructions. Are we going to follow his instructions? This is what being human is all about. For God will bring to judgment everything we do, including every secret, whether good or bad. Now, I bring this out. I really believe that Solomon, in looking more at him and studying him now, I really believe that he did come around. He did turn around at the end. I mean, we go through times when we really, but the Lord wants us to struggle with him and our belief in him because it helps us to grow. Now, the other thing, the other story that the Lord brought to mind with regards to this when I was looking at mitzvot and commands, if you remember the story of the rich young ruler, and he comes to the Lord, and the Lord says, have you kept my commands? Have you kept the commandments? Because it referred back to what is referred to the law, and the guy goes, well, yes. I haven't killed, I haven't stolen, I've honored my mother and father, I've done all these things. And the Lord says to him, go sell all you have and follow me. And it makes him sad. Now, the Lord is our master and we need to follow his instructions. If he tells us to do something, we need to do it. If he tells somebody else to do something, we don't have to do it. Does that make sense? I mean, if God tells somebody else to do something, if he didn't tell me to do it, I don't have to do it. We each have a job to do. We each have instructions from the Lord, and that's why we need to hear from the Lord. If we're not listening to the Lord, how do we know what we're supposed to do? Now, we will work together because we are one body. And he is the head. And the Holy Spirit coordinates us and indwells us. I mean, we have the best situation in the world. We've got millions of body parts surrounding us, cells just like our bodies. And we've got a Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. We need to know what the Lord wants us to do individually and corporately. And the neat thing is that the Lord told me, he said, you don't need to apologize. You told him there would be a message today. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and you will be. Help us now to grow. And Lord, we look forward to this fresh, new beginning. And Lord, we just thank you that we're able to participate through the missionaries. we're able to participate through your word. And Lord, I'm just getting a sense right now that we need healing in this room. Now, some of it's physical healing, some of it can just be different things, but Lord, I just pray right now that you would just touch each and every person here today, Lord Jesus. Just touch them now, Lord Jesus, that they would feel and sense your healing presence, whether it's physical healing, just simply giving them peace about a situation, or just strength taking away a pain, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for your presence, your healing presence, that we will someday enjoy that time with you. In Jesus' name.